When they were constructing the stage here, they put a seam. You know, there's plywood, there's a seam here, so my table rocks. Which forces me to choose a side, and I chose you. I chose the good side. No. Jesus. I was talking to Les and Matt this morning. I was like, I don't know why no one wants to sit on my side. Because this side over here was completely full almost. And then it was just like me and Charity over here. So bless you for being a part of Team Nathan. All right. You guys ready this morning? You ready for a sermon this morning? I'm going to keep going. We're going to be in Acts chapter 4. And I'm going to keep going until the Lord says to stop. And so while I was reading and studying and man, guys, that's a process. That really, if you've ever been up here on stage and had to deliver anything that God gave you, you understand that is just like finally your exhale, because the preparation and the prayer and what goes into it is so just stressful, and you're trying to figure out what's me, what's God, you know. And anyway. I'm gonna teach seminary one day, so I'm just practicing on you. All right. So, listen. When I say the word bold, what do you think about? I think of, I guess, solids or very bright and in your face, right? Just kind of bold, right? And I also think about, you know, I've been writing a lot of papers here for trying to finish up my schooling. And, you know, just there's a bold, italicized, and for your font. And in the headings and whatnot, I use bold properly. I don't overuse bold like I would an exclamation point. But the bold really stands out as it contrasts to just the normal everyday, right? And we're gonna look at Peter and John still. And we're going to look at a way that they were bold. Look at a way that they were bold. Being bold, or using bold lettering, or using bold font, it started out as an advertisement. I guess more of a trick in advertising. They would be, you see how, look at my picture here, those letters. Bold is almost always capitalized too. So it stands out, and it's almost shouting, bold. And it was used in advertising to catch your attention, but it provides an emphasis on the word, and it draws your attention. It almost says, look at me, this is important, right? That's what bold is. You have to look at the bold letters. If I was a teacher, if I wanted something important, I would put it in bold letters. And then it would be up to you if you wanted to look at it or not. So let me tell you about Peter and John. Because I'm skipping just a little bit. If you recall, Peter and John, they had healed a man, right? Remember, he was at the gate, and you know, people would carry him to the temple gate every single day. He was dependent on them, and you know, he's got his hand out, and he's like, "Hey, Peter, hey, John." He didn't call him by name, but hey, you got anything for me? And you know, he's looking for gold and silver, because that's how he made his money. And Peter looks at him and says, "Gold and silver I don't have, but I'll give you the gift that I have, and that's stand up in the name of Jesus Christ." And the man did. So they healed him, right? And not only did they heal him, but then they brought him into the temple courts. Brought him with them. So they healed him, picked him up, healed him, brought him with them. And they're in the temple courts. And that's where, like, all the big wigs are. You know, there's guys with high ranks as far as the hierarchy and Jewish culture is. And Caiaphas was there, and if you remember, Caiaphas was a part of the Sanhedrin that decided to crucify Christ. Annas was there, again, in the Sanhedrin to crucify Christ. And they're there, and they're talking to Peter and John. They're like, "Hey, under what authority did you do that? Under what authority?" They didn't deny the miracle. They didn't deny what happened. They wouldn't know how you did it, right? How did you do that? You just walked by and said, "Hey, stand up," and put their hand down and help pick them up. And that's what they're wondering. It wouldn't you? Wouldn't you be like, "How did you do that?" Because this guy has done that every single day. You know, just imagine someone comes to your workplace and just plops right outside the door every day, begs for money. And then one day, two guys walk by and say, "Hey, stand up," and walk. And he does. That would be crazy. So they're scared. They're scared. And they decide, I don't know how to deal with this right now, but I know you have upset me, so I'm putting you in jail. So they put Peter and John in jail, right? They put them in jail. And they keep them overnight, and then I guess they learned from having secret Sanhedrins. They weren't going to have a secret Sanhedrin for Peter and John. See, that's what they did for Jesus. But they waited till the next morning, and Sanhedrin's basically just a trial. So they put Peter and John on trial, and you know, they're talking to them, and they're still like, hey, Jesus, the one you crucified, that's the name I'm using to do these miraculous signs. Okay? So there's your background. We're going to pick up 4, verse 13. And I'm reading out of my favorite translation. This is ESV. It's going to be just a little bit different than yours, but still will be there. I didn't think I put them on the screen because it was a lot. But anyhow, I'll read to you. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and yours may say courage. So now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. So let's just talk about that for a second. Now they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Remember me telling you boldness was just kind of like an important and emphatic. It draws attention to you. They're paying attention to Peter and John, and they saw them. And even if your translation says courage, that goes well with this. They saw the courage of Peter and John standing inside the temple courts. People are asking them, how did you heal this man? And they're like, I didn't. Jesus of Nazareth did. Jesus did. The one whom you crucified. They always did that little dig. I would too, just to be honest. I love Peter. The one whom you crucified. I'm preaching in his name right now. That's how the man is healed. So they saw that in him. They saw this courage. And even when they put him in prison or put him in their jail and got him out the next morning, they didn't lose that courage. They didn't lose that boldness. I've talked to people that have spent nights in jail. They're changed in the morning. These guys weren't. Why? They believed in their purpose. They believed in why they were there. They believed in their righteousness. And that astonished the Sanhedrin. That astonished these people who were supposed to be the most educated, the most dedicated, just the highest of high. I mean, they even call themselves the high priest. But they were astonished by the boldness of these mediocre, uneducated, common men. What can you get from that? I get a couple things. I just wasted $47,000 on an education. I'm teasing. I need that education. I need that education to be able to articulate things well for you. But do I have to have it to be bold for Christ?
No.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. My education helps me do other things for Christ, okay? But it's not a prerequisite to be bold for Him. Right. These guys were fishermen. They had no idea about anything other than catching fish. You want to learn how to catch a fish? Go see Peter and John. You want to learn how to make a man walk? You better go see Jesus. Right? That's what they're saying. They're preaching in this boldness, and it astonished these men. And frankly, it would astonish me too. I'm like, how can you know so much? And then they recognize it. I want you to catch this. They recognize they had been with Jesus. I recognize when I have been with Jesus. I recognize when you have been with Jesus. Okay? But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. What are they going to say? He's healed. All right? But then they had commanded them to leave the council. They conferred with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign had been performed through them is evident to all of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may not spread to further among the people, let us warn them, not to speak no more to anyone in his name. Okay, I can't stop this movement. I can't stop what happened. So let us tell them, let us warn them sternly not to speak in his name anymore. I don't want to hear it in public. That's what they're saying. I don't care what you do in your house, but when it's out here and it concerns me, I don't want to hear it. Sound familiar?
Yep.
Sound familiar? You been to a public school? Say Jesus. I dare you. I dare you say it in a public school. You can't. Even the most progressive or the most accepting or sympathetic to Christianity, still, if you are there and you are bold for Christ, they're going to let you know where that door is. And when you push the button to get back in, they're like, oh, hey. No. No. See, they warn them sternly to speak no more in his name. 18. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach in all the name of Jesus. And 19. But Peter and John answered them, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. They basically said, do you think I should listen to you or God? And they're challenging them, like, hey, you know what you're supposed to tell me back. You know I'm supposed to listen to God, not you. So they're putting it back on them. I wish that I had that boldness sometimes. I love Peter, and I love John, and I just love how they're, well, I hear what you're saying, but let me tell you, I don't answer to you. And it's tough, because we do, and we're supposed to respect the authority placed above us, right? Because he put it above us. So then there's this gentle line that we have to toe. We have to find out where can we be bold and in what fashion. Okay? I don't think street preaching is effective anymore. I don't think condemnation preaching is effective anymore. I want people to be aware that there's a consequence for their actions, but if I point the finger and say, you're going to hell, I don't find that as effective as, hey, listen, we all have to answer for our mistakes. And I just really hope that when you have to answer for yours, that you have the grace that God has given us. Right? Doesn't that sound so much better than, you, hell, now. And I've been, I won't say chastised, I've been challenged because I don't preach enough fire. Y'all want fire, go find somewhere else. I don't know. I'm going to love you to death. Right? I'm going to love you to Jesus. I just am. And that's how I'm going to be bold. I don't want there ever to be a question of, is this person a loving, following, dedicated follower of Christ? Through the boldness. So Peter and John say, I hear what you're saying. Respect your position. I have to answer to God. Okay? That's what I would ask for you to say in your lives. Now, I'm not telling you to be intentionally defiant in your workplace or in your houses, wherever it is. But understand that at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you made a man happy. It doesn't. At the end of the day, it matters if God was happy or pleased with you. Okay? All right. And it says, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all were praising God for what had happened. For the man of whom the sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. I have no idea what that has to do with the price of rice in China. I looked it up. Why is it going to be 40? It doesn't matter. But basically all I can figure out is he's been in this condition for 40 plus years. And then in one day, not only does he stand, but he is running and jumping in the temple courts. Okay? So he is more than 40 years old. Now we're down to 23. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them, which was, don't speak or teach in the name of Jesus. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of your father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, 'Why do the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servants, Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with boldness.'" I want to talk about a couple things here. Sovereign Lord. They started their prayer out, "Sovereign Lord." This is very Old Testament. Sovereign means powerful. Okay? They're saying, "Oh, powerful God, why are these people plotting against us still? Your people." But they're recognizing that God is the supreme power. And they're appealing to His supreme power. And what are they asking for at the end there? They ask that they would remain bold. They're appealing to God's power to address the threats. Okay, let's just apply this to our lives. Okay, let's say you are going through a mess. Okay, let's say you're going through a mess. And you know God can get you out of this mess. So you pray to Him, you say, "Oh, sovereign God, deliver me from this trial. Deliver me from this trial. Please take this away from me or get me through this like right now." They could have said that. They could have said that. They could have said, "God, they are persecuting us, and I know this is what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be bold for you. We're supposed to preach out. So remove them from our way. Get them out of our way, Lord, so we can do your will," right? "Do something for me so I can do something for you." It's not what they asked for. They asked for boldness. And I'm going to quote one of the great theologians. He says, "Do not pray for an easy life. Pray for the strength to endure a difficult one." That was Bruce Lee, by the way. I don't think he's a great theologian. But he's got a point. Don't pray that your life is going to be easy. Pray for the strength to endure. And that's what these people did. They got, as soon as they were released from jail, or the Sanhedrin, or whatever, they went to their friends, and their friends said, "Let's pray right now." I just picture them all in a circle. They're grabbing hands, and they're appealing to God in all of His power. And they don't ask Him to fix His situation. They ask for courage and boldness to get through it together. And I want you to read 31. It says, "And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness." I like to think that that was God's immediate response to their prayer. I like to think that them being filled with the Holy Spirit and having this boldness and the ability to continue speaking and preaching in His name was a direct result of their prayer. They stood together and they prayed and they appealed to the sovereign God. "God, give us boldness." And I've told you before, God will give you exactly what you need for the situation you're in. Had they asked for deliverance and He gave them boldness, would He have not answered the prayer? Yeah, He answered it. He gave them His answer. So did you ever pray and say, "Hey, here's what I want. Oh, magic genie God, I need this." Right? He's not a genie, y'all. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose for us. Okay? And sometimes when we pray to Him, we're selfish. We just are. And I am. So I'm lumping us all together. Just come sit in Nathan's boat. That's where we are. Because it's easy to get so fixated on our one little issue, our one little problem, to realize that deliverance from that problem wouldn't fix the next one. Okay? These guys, had they been delivered from you know, the Caiaphas and Annas and anyone else that was persecuting them or trying to stop them from preaching in Jesus' name, would not have had the boldness they needed down the line. If you're familiar with the book of Acts, they are going to need this boldness a lot. I mean, I'm going to say the first five to seven chapters, Peter and John are in and out of jail. They are just in and out of jail. And most people look at that like, wow, something's wrong with you. There ain't no way you can serve the Lord. You've been in jail. I read it like five times you went to jail. Can't use you. He can if you're bold for him. He can if you're bold. So let's look at 32. I'm almost done. Now the full number of those who believed, or I don't know what your translation might say. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. What kind of courage or boldness do you think it took for them all to be of one heart, of one mind? Now, we know from the day of Pentecost there was 3,000 added to their number. And we know that the Lord was adding to their number each day, right? So let's just imagine, we'll just round the number. Let's say there's 3,000 people in this room right now. What are the probabilities of us all being of one mind and heart? And not considering anything our own. What's the probability? I'm going to say slim. I'm going to say very, very slim. But that's the kind of community that they were building with one another. And it wasn't necessarily through Peter and John. It was through their boldness. It was through their example that the others were able to catch on. The others were able to catch that fire. It was almost, you know, Spanky was telling you about a mentorship. That's a lot of what it was. The apostles, that great of a number, couldn't specifically mentor to each person. Okay? So what they had to do was live by example and watch the people follow. It would be easier to know that someone's watching you to be bold. So let me talk to parents right now. Someone's watching you. Let me talk to grandparents. Someone's watching you. Let me talk to uncles and aunts, brothers and sisters. Someone's watching you. I don't tell you that to put an added responsibility on you. I put that on you so that you know you have an impact. You have an impact. So I pray that your impact is boldness for Christ. This morning, I was able to sit in my office with my son, my youngest son. And I was talking to him about his Bible. I don't even know what we were talking about. And I said, he said, oh, you have a lot of Bible translations. I said, yeah, I do. I like to look at the words. And he just kind of looked at me funny. I was like, different translations use different words. So I try to figure out, why did they use this word and not this word? And I'll chase a rabbit all the way to the Greek. I just really will. But we're sitting there, and he's got the NIV, and he's got a VeggieTale one, right? And it's got Bob and Larry on it. And he goes, you want me to read you something? I said, yes, I do. I do want you to read me something. So he opens up his Bible. And it's got like this, I don't know, like a comic section almost. And he read to me the story of David and Goliath. And, well, first of all, I was blessed just to have my son read to me, right? And then, so he's reading to me David and Goliath, and I said, you know what? I was looking for that. I didn't specifically know I was looking for David and Goliath. I was looking this all week, and I even talked to Charity about it, and she's like my final appeal, because I try not to put too much on her. I was like, I'm trying to make this point, and I don't know how to get there. I need an illustration. I don't know where I'm going. And then this morning, he reads to me David and Goliath. Do Do you know the story of David and Goliath? I'm not going to read it to you. I'm just going to tell it to you. There is a boy about one of my boys' age that took on a literal giant. You know, I forget, like 9 foot tall, we're thinking, you know, right around that area. And he's like 12-ish, okay? And he's looking around all these people, this entire army. He's looking at two armies. One army is taunting the other, saying, hey, send your champion out here. If you beat my champion, we'll be your slaves. Right? Just like that game show host sound. They've never seen him, but they did it. They did it. I know they did. So they're taunting each other, and David's looking around like, who's going to do something? So he goes, he's like, King, I'm going to do it. And the king laughed at him. He's like, no, your brothers are in the army. They're not going out there. You're not going out there either. He's like, no, I'm telling you, I'm going. And the king's like, all right, fine, wear my armor. And he's like, this is holding me down. It's weighing me down. I can't move. My God is going to go with me. So he went out on the battlefield, and he faced a 9-foot giant. Remember, he's like 12-ish. Faces a 9-foot giant, and what's he got with him? A sling, rocks, and the giant's got a sword, shield, and, you know, and he's like, he's laughing at him, he's taunting him. He's like, what are you going to do with that thing? Other than tick me off. You know, what are you going to do with that little sling? You don't do anything with that. So David starts, and he lets it go, smacks him in the face, and I can hear the thud when he hit the ground, and I can hear the whole Philistine army like, I gotta go. I hear Mama calling. We gotta roll. That kid was so bold to tell a king, your entire army stinks, I'm gonna do it. I don't know what they're crying about and why they're scared. That's just a man. My God is powerful. See, David did what Peter did. And I think Peter did it because David did it. He called on the power of our sovereign God. And he said, I need boldness. I need courage. The thing about it is, David knew God was going to give it to him. So did Peter. So did John. So did the 3,000 that were gathered together to pray. Even if they weren't all there. Let's say there's 120 of them. Let's look around. Let's say there was 80 of them. Let's say they all had one heart, one mind, and they prayed for boldness to continue to preach the word of Jesus. To not do it disrespectfully, but to not shy away for the opportunity. These guys could have been told by the Sanhedrin, hey, look, you got to go. And I'm going to let you out of jail, but you cannot preach in Jesus' name again. Most people would be like, okay. And then leave and go do it anyway, right? But they didn't. They stayed right there because that's where their calling was at the time. They do leave in a little bit, but that's where their calling was at that time. And I swear, that had to be the most frustrating thing for the Sanhedrin, or for the high priest. It had to be the most frustrating thing, because I know they're sitting in their offices and they can hear it, and they're like, I told them to stop, and I can't stop them. Never once is it recorded that they appealed to God and said, God, is this your will, and tried to change their heart. No, they were bold for themselves, right? They had this conceit in them. They thought because they were educated that they were better. They thought because they were raised and trained in the Bible. You ever hear somebody say, I ask a lot of people, hey, where's your church? Where do you go to church? And they're like, oh, well, I was raised in church. Okay. Okay. What are you doing right now? You go to church with me? Love it. It's like asking a girl a prom. You go prom with me? I don't know. Now they do fancy stuff. But anyway, there's a boldness about that. I pray we're able to keep that boldness in a world that's trying to darken it. I pray we keep this light, we keep this fire burning in a world that's trying to squinch it and crush it and put it out. Basically, we're told we can say whatever we want to say in our homes, which is nice, that we're not to that point yet. We can say whatever we want to say in a church building as long as there's other people there that aren't offended. We can say whatever we want to say anywhere but public. I was asked yesterday if I minded doing a prayer for, I don't want to give too much away, but this man approached me and said, "Hey, I'm going to do this thing weekly. Would you come and pray for us?" And I said, "Yeah, I would love to do that." And he goes, "If there's anyone that doesn't want to, though, I don't know if we're going to be able to do it." I was like, "Okay." I said, "Do you want to do it?" He's like, "Yeah." I said, "Okay." It's like, if you want to do it, and I just happen to be standing there praying and other people hear me, I'm okay with it. And if I just so happen to be praying for what you asked me to pray for, even better, right? I'm not going to quench that because I'm told I have to. I'm not going to hide in the community because I'm told I should feel bad for my beliefs or just because they're different from someone else's. And we live in a pretty good community. It's not that bad here. We're not in, you know, if we were in Columbus, it'd be a lot different, right? You know, if we were in the larger cities, there would be a lot more opposition. And I thank God that we're not. I thank God that we're able to be just a little bit more open than some people. Because I hope that our boldness will affect that. I hope that somehow through my interactions with you or your neighbor or, you know, whatever, that it trickles all the way down to the major cities and that this catches back on. Because right now, it's not. Just the statistics are showing it's not. Right at this moment, more people are walking away from church than ever. And it's because we're told we're bigots or we're whatever. There's a difference in judgment and love. I love you enough to stop you from making a very critical error. Not judging you, loving you. I think it's the approach, and I think it's the delivery, though. I had a conversation this morning about... we're still okay. I had a conversation this morning about a man walked in church and had been there for a little while, and the people come to him, they're like, "Hey, I cannot believe you came back here. You haven't been here in like 3 months. What are you doing here?" I got to pray for them because I'm mad at them. Oh, gosh. But that's so common. And that's how we get this almost aroma, this stench on us. Like people, "Oh, you're a Christian." Ugh. That's how. I see how you treat each other. You ain't going to treat me that way. Wall. You ain't getting in here, you know? So the boldness, that was bold. And it got my attention. Could have been just twisted like, "I am so glad you're back. We have missed you. I hope things are going well for you. If not, love to pray with you, talk to you. Just be here for you." See, it's the approach. It's the delivery. It's the heart, though. It's the heart. These guys had it in their heart. These guys didn't have the distractions we have. These guys, I'm jealous. I'm jealous. These guys literally lived for the Lord. They woke up for the Lord. They ate for the Lord. They breathed for the Lord. They went to sleep for the Lord. We have to figure out in our distractions how we can still be bold. How we can still live for the Lord. And it looks a little bit different for each of us. And we're all on different levels. So I would tell you that here's one that worked for me. I was an apprentice for electrical work, right? I was in my very first year. I didn't learn anything other than to not get shocked, right? everybody just kind of looks at you. Anyway, so I'm in this trailer, and we're having lunch, and I would pray for my lunch while my neighbor was watching pornography on his phone. So that was how I was able to be Christ there. Because finally he stopped. And then he would ask me, he's like, why are you praying? So I was able to share my beliefs with him. Took some courage because he had a direct capability of making my life miserable at work. Right? He was one of those guys that was able to make sure I hand dug the trench when we could have used the equipment. Right? So it worked out well. Worked out well. I don't know where he's at now, but I was able to plant a seed. I was able to be bold in some darkness. I got treated a little bit different, but I was actually treated better. I was actually treated better because of it. So that's just something that's worked for me, and I don't know what it looks like for you. I don't. That's just an example I can give you. I just would pray that you're able to do that tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday. Just make it a habit. And then do it next week, next month, next year. And who knows where we'll be? Who knows where Christ will be at that time? I pray he's already here. But if not, we'll just keep doing what we're doing, right? Okay, let's pray. God, I pray the prayer that the believers prayed. I pray that we have one heart, one mind, and it's for you. I pray for the courage to endure every situation. I pray for the boldness to shine your light, regardless of where we are. I pray for our neighbors. I pray for our family members. I pray for the impact that we have on them. I pray that our boldness is a direct reflection of you and not ourselves. I pray that we don't get caught up in our educations or our ability to teach, preach, or whatever it is. And that we're able to just reflect you well. And we're able to show your face and your love and your grace to each and every person we come in contact with. Because we know you love them as much as you love us. And it's not a competition. And I pray this prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, I'm going to have the praise team come up. We're going to sing another song. I'm going to have the elders come up. We're going to be up here to pray with you. And I want to ask you, how's it going being bold? And are you struggling at it? And if so, I'd love to pray with you about it. I just would love to lift you up to the Lord, to the all-powerful, the sovereign God, the one that, you know, I'm amazed that he created the universe. It just blows my mind. He's so powerful, but yet so loving and caring. Let us intercede for you to that God, the God who can do anything. Who already has. So if you would stand with us.